From the second chapter of Acts, the word of the Lord says, "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day 3,000 souls. This morning we have the wonderful opportunity to celebrate the four of our congregants, four members of our congregation who are going to demonstrate in a physical manner something that has taken place in the privacy of their hearts. They have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And as the apostles exhorted, as Jesus demonstrated in his own baptism, they're going to come and in this dramatic fashion demonstrate for all of us what has happened secretly in their hearts in this outward drama of baptism, in which they will go into the water in comparison with Jesus' death and burial, come back out of the water in comparison with Jesus' resurrection from the dead. So we have four candidates this morning, and what we'll be doing is each one of them will share with you their story of personal salvation. And then after that, we'll proceed to do the drama of the baptizing. And then they'll depart, be able to get dressed again, and then we'll continue on with worship. So the order this morning is going to be Karen Royer will present her testimony first, then Karen Rudisill will follow Karen Royer. Allison Albright then, and then Micah Albright will present. So Karen, if you would come at this time, please.
Good morning. That's really warm. As a child, I attended a church that practiced infant baptism and confirmation. Baptism was not seen as salvation. Confirmation only occurred if a baptized infant at an older age chose to personally accept Jesus Christ as his or her Savior and was willing to profess that faith before the congregation in a confirmation ceremony. At the age of 12, those who had been baptized as infants were invited to attend classes led by the pastor. These classes covered many topics, including church history, church beliefs, and most importantly, the true gospel message. At the end of this series of classes, my pastor set aside a time to talk individually with each class attendee. To this day, I can visually picture talking with him. My pastor, in a very caring and loving way, asked if I had any questions. He also asked me if I was willing to put into words what I believed or perhaps didn't believe about the gospel message. He stressed that he didn't want me to feel pressure from him or my parents to be confirmed. He explained that confirmation should only occur if I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. During that conversation, I knew I wanted to be confirmed. I had accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believed that I was a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I knew that because of my sin, I was destined to hell. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." I believed that Jesus was crucified on the cross for my sins, died, and was buried. I believed that on the third day, he rose from the grave and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." John 5:24 says, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." My confirmation ceremony was a very meaningful and important time in my spiritual walk. I became a member of this congregation back in the late 1980s, when we were known as Reading Evangelical Free Church. At that time, baptism was not required for membership. Baptism is meant to be an outward expression of a new believer's acceptance of Jesus Christ as their Savior. Sadly, throughout church history, the topic of baptism has caused separation among believers and splits among churches. Today, I'm being baptized by immersion as an outward sign that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was a child, and that I still wholeheartedly accept him as my Savior. I identify with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. I am so grateful for my salvation and for this local body. It's not coming out. This local body of believers. My heart's desire is to live out 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God."
Hello. I grew up in a Christian home. As a family, we attended a Methodist church in West Lawn faithfully. My parents sang in the church choir. My brothers and I sang in the youth choir. I believed in God, that there is a heaven and a hell, and thought that if I was in church every Sunday with my family, I would go to heaven. I was christened as an infant, completed confirmation as a teen, and continued my every Sunday attendance at church through my adolescence and adulthood, never picking up the Bible. As a youth and teenager, I was taught to memorize the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, the books of the Old and New Testament, not ever considering what was in the gospel. Fast forward 5 years. I married at a very young age of 19 and remained married for 20 years to a non-believer, which ended in a heart-wrenching divorce in 1996, followed by the very unexpected death of my mother in 1999. I continued with my belief that if I went to church, was seated in my special spot every Sunday, that God would get me through these devastating events. Not so much. I went through panic attacks, anxiety, and depression. Eventually, I did get through them, but I was never at peace, and something was greatly missing. Approximately 18 years ago, a new family moved next door, the Murphys. Rodney Murphy was the assistant pastor at Glad Tidings. He and his wife spoke with me often about the gospel and my faith. On my 46th birthday, they gave me a Bible. For the first time in my life, I was truly interested in the Bible and what was actually in it. Within that year, I met a very wonderful man through work who was a believer, active in the sound ministry of his church, and knew the gospel. I worked in the neonatal intensive care unit, and he worked in the IT department at the Reading Hospital. I started attending Faith Community Church in Brookhaven with him every Sunday, and although I was getting the head knowledge, I did not have the heart knowledge, and still I was not at peace, and something was missing. Shortly after, my father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and after a 2.5-year battle, he passed away. At his funeral during the service, I was sitting with my brother, Daryl. While he held my hand, we both looked in the direction of my father's casket, where there was a floral arrangement and a stand. As we both looked at it in total disbelief, a single leaf started moving up and down. We both stared at it in total disbelief, as it must have continued for about a minute. I closed my eyes, bowed my head, and from my lips came "all is well." It was like being slapped across the shoulder blades. I got it. I'm a sinner. God sent his son to die for my sins. I began praying and asking forgiveness for my sins and thanked God for his wonderful gift and prayed for my salvation. I came to the realization that it is God's will, not mine. For the first time in my life, I felt contentment and total peace knowing that I will have eternal life. My salvation is through Jesus Christ and nothing else. How awesome is that? It is difficult to believe that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at my father's funeral, but the Holy Spirit embraced me on that day, and I was at peace and in my heart and soul. God has shown his many blessings on me since then. I married that wonderful Christian man, and we have been serving the Lord for the past 14 years together. Although we were at an extended age when we married and could not have a child of our own, God blessed us with a child to raise. A little twin preemie was born in the Reading Hospital at 25 weeks gestation on 12/15, which coincidentally was my mother's birthday, weighing in at 1 pound, 4 ounces. Unfortunately, her twin sister did not survive, but Kaylee was the fighter from the start. After being hospitalized in the NICU for 4 months, she was discharged to our home, where God directed us to foster her and then adopt her and complete our family. How great is our God! Thank you.
Hello. C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." Growing up as a child, my home life was relatively stable. I was baptized as an infant, and my family regularly went to church on Sundays. But talking about God was never happened outside of church. I believed God existed and thought that as long as we all believed in a God in some form, that everybody would go to heaven. I prayed occasionally, but was so confused about the difference between God and Jesus that I usually alternated to which one I prayed just in case. My teenage years and 20s were rife with change, including my parents' blindsiding divorce, attending college out of state, starting a new career, and maintaining a long-distance relationship. My faith didn't really grow from the ambiguous and fairly superficial faith of my youth. I quietly battled bitter sadness and anger at my parents for ruining our family, while learning the sad truth of adulthood that most people are just constantly seeking distractions from the stressors of their lives. Looking back, I can see how God began to pull me from that self-centered, purposeless mire. Premarital counseling allowed me to work through the unresolved feelings of betrayal and loss I experienced with my parents' divorce, and taught me that God needs to be the center of a marriage, that it is a reflection of God and the church, and could be so wonderful and fulfilling in his hands. This was brand new information. A few moves, jobs, and churches later, Micah and I were living in State College, and I found myself in a small group Bible study with diverse intellectual women from many walks of life and fervor for the Word of God. I learned in ways that had not sunk in before that God loved us, that we are a sinful, fallen people, and that Jesus Christ, his Son, sacrificed himself in order that we would be forgiven. It was necessary and the only real way to reconcile with God. This revelation of the exclusivity of the gospel, which I formerly found to be too unforgiving and extreme, removed the blinders from my eyes and helped me to understand that I had been treating God like an acquaintance instead of submitting myself fully to him. Slowly, I came to learn that all of the questions about the purpose of suffering, the existence of God, the reason for good and evil, the reconciliation between science, government, and religion, and the meaning of life all have satisfying answers in God's word and plan. walking by faith and not by sight was not foolish, but instead carries the wisdom of the ages. I prayed many times during those years for God to forgive me, forgive my parents, guide my life, and use me for his glory. In true introvert fashion, these changes seemed quiet and subtle. The most significant change that I physiologically notice is that my heart, my very soul, feels truly settled. My heart and mind that were yearning for comfort and answers had finally found them. Being intentional about my faith, reading the Bible, seriously praying, and trusting that God will direct my path has shaped and transformed my life, job, and marriage. This faith is the reason I can have peace and joy in my heart, even in the saddest or most stressful of days. There is nothing in this world that can satisfy the soul the way having peace that comes from Christ does. After much consideration and prayer, Micah and I decided to be obedient to God's command to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, trust in his promise of eternal joy, and to be baptized on our own volition today as believers.
Good morning. I grew up in a Christian home where at a young age I was introduced to God and the Bible. I certainly do not remember a date or even the location, but I know that early on my parents sat me down and led me in a prayer asking that God would take control of my life. While this practice was pivotal in setting a tone described in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, at the time it had little personal meaning. Mom and Dad subsequently modeled what it looked like to pray daily to God, spend time reading the Bible, and be members of a Christian church. These were part of who we were as a family. A spiritual seed had been planted. Life during the following years was marked by positive memories with families and friends. Academically, I did reasonably well in school. As an athlete, I played 3 sports at the varsity level. And artistically, the Lord had gifted me with a love for music. Spiritually, he provided me with loving role models. As an example, I vividly remember that all birthday or holiday cards I received from my maternal grandparents were handwritten with the assurance of guidance verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Of course, like any young man, I had my moments of rebellion and failures, succumbing to sin and the evil one, mostly during my late teen years and early 20s. There were times where, in retrospect, I see that sin had a dominance in my life. But praise God for his steadfast love and faithfulness, and that he has shown me, and even continues to show me, that ultimate joy is found in him. Psalm 16:11 states, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." 2 pivotal events occurred in my life after Allison and I were married in 2012 that would set the tone for a time of significant spiritual growth leading up to today. First, as a couple living in Lancaster, through God's grace, Allison and I intentionally made it a priority to find a church together. Having grown up in a Bible-believing congregation, I actively sought a church that would be like-minded. Through the Lord's guiding, we found one, and were blessed from hearing God's word weekly. Second, at the time, I was teaching orchestra at Lancaster Mennonite School, where I had many lengthy conversations with colleagues about practices in that church. This sparked an increased interest and desire in understanding not only what I believed, but why I believed what I believed. In the following years, the growth continued. The Lord put me in certain conversations and environments where my beliefs were challenged. But with each challenge came more truth. When the Lord led Allison and me to the Reading area, he also led us to this church. We have attended here since January 2017 and have been blessed by the people and the ministry. Having never joined a church as a couple before, we became very convicted that Crossway is where the Lord wanted us to stay. After conversations with Pastor Dean and Pastor Greg about never having been baptized as a believer, it became clear that this was an important next step. I will be honest, this decision took a lot of prayer and thought on our part, but the conviction came when Alice and I discussed having children. We know we want them baptized as believers. The question became then, why would I hold my children to the standard, but not myself? It needs to be said that I know baptism is not an avenue to salvation. After baptism, I will still be as much of a sinner in need of God's amazing grace as I was before. But this is my declaration to you all that, as our popular Crossway worship song states, I have decided to follow Jesus. Only because of the faith I have in him can I confidently look forward to an eternity with God when he returns or calls me home. Through Christ, I am counted as righteous. Praise God for his steadfast love and faithfulness.
I hope all of you have felt the blessing that I have of being able to hear of God's grace in the lives and hearts of these baptism candidates. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. We're going to begin with Karen Royer. Karen Royer, because of your testimony of commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your desire to honor him in this way, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Karen Rudisell, based on your testimony of trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and him being your confidence of heaven, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here we go. Allison Albright, based on your testimony of trusting that Jesus Christ is your only hope of heaven and that you want to follow him in obedience and baptism to show your faith on an outward way, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Mike Albright, husband of Allison Albright, based on your testimony of trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, as your hope of heaven, your confidence for this life even, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.